four preachers got together to have a meal. They're sitting there talking about the various things that are going on at their congregations, and in particular, some of the sins that the congregation is struggling with, particular members, things that are holding the congregation back from growth. And as they're discussing this, one of the preachers boldly says, you know, we ought to confess our sin. You know, the fact is preachers, we struggle just like anyone else. Maybe, you know, we understand each other, we're on the same page. Maybe we should confess what that sin is to one another and talk about it. In fact, the preacher said, I'll go first. He said, guys, you know, I've been struggling with lying. I deceive because I want people to like what I have to say. I tell them what they want to hear, and that's what I've been struggling with. One of the other preachers jumps in and says, well, I'll go next. He says, I've been struggling with entertainment, with entertaining myself with things that I really ought not. The music that I listen to, the things that I watch and that I'm viewing on the internet, I'm struggling with that. And the third of the four preachers jumps in next, and he says, you know, well, honestly, I've been struggling with time. I've not been a good manager of my time. I've not spent time with my wife and my kids like I ought to, and you know, I'm busy, and when I get time, I just kind of want to be on my own, and that's certainly my struggle. And naturally, they all turn and look at the fourth, who's not really speaking up, and so they press him. Tell us, there's got to be something you're struggling with. And so he finally says, all right, you know, he says, my struggle is gossip, and I can't wait to get out of here. That's a bad day. That's a bad day right there. We're talking this morning about gossip. Gossip. I want to start out continuing by way of introduction with a few quotes that I saw about gossip that I thought were pretty accurate. The first one, some people will believe anything if it is whispered to them. There's a lot of truth to that. It's so appealing, isn't it, to, oh yeah, tell me about what Billy Joe Bob did the other day. I want to know. I want to hear that when it's whispered to you. In fact, it's incredible how something that maybe it's true and it gets altered, maybe it's just false to begin with, but everybody begins to believe it when that one person tells it to someone else, and then that one person tells their one person, and it just spreads around. In fact, I thought it was interesting. In 1887, 22 years after Abraham Lincoln had died, he'd been in his casket 22 years, a rumor began to be spread that his body was not there in the coffin. And it got so bad that they decided to pull the coffin up and open it and see if his body was there. And of course, it was. Interestingly, 14 years later, in about 1901, the same rumor happened again. And once again, they pulled up his coffin and checked to see if his body was there. And of course, it was. I don't know if somebody just made it up, if somebody asked the question. I wonder if Abraham Lincoln's body has been stolen or if it's there. And it just spreads, and everybody all of a sudden believes it to be true. Certainly a true quote. What about this one? Gossip is the most deadly microbe. It has neither legs nor wings. It is composed entirely of tails, and most of them have stings. I like that play on words. That's so true. That's exactly the case. It is very deadly. We're going to talk more about how deadly it is in just a little bit. Go to James 3 in your Bibles to begin with. James chapter 3, as we begin to talk about how serious the sins of the tongue are, and in particular, that of gossip. James chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 1 together. I'll give you a moment to get there. James 3 and verse 1. In fact, as you're turning there, before I forget, I remember, maybe you did this when you were younger, or maybe even seen it with our youth, but I played a game when I was younger several times on different retreats where you would get in a big circle. Maybe some of the young people especially know about this, and we called the game gossip. And what we would do, in fact, I did this with the youth in Arkansas. We had about 20 of them, so you can imagine how easy it was to make the point here. We would start with one of the youth, didn't matter who it was, and I would tell them in secret, I would whisper a statement to them. For example, I might say, the elephant is the largest animal on land in the world. Something to that effect. And he would then pass that statement on to the next person. The rule was, you whisper it to the next person. You only get to say it one time. And the person that receives that information, they have to relate it to the next person exactly as they heard it. And so as you can imagine, it goes all the way around. And a true statement like, the elephant is the largest land animal in the world, by the end of it, turns into just something completely made up, like the Florida Gators are a good football team. No, it just It just completely gets out. I'm sorry, I just had to. But in all truth, I'm joking about Florida, but in all truth, it just gets changed to something that had nothing to do with the original statement. And something that may or may not have been true to begin with ends up getting exaggerated or changed greatly. But with that in mind, we know how gossip works. Look at James 3 and verse 1. I love you guys, even if you are Florida fans. James 3 and verse 1. My brethren, James says, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. James, in essence, says, if you can control your tongue, you have control over your entire body. He's going to illustrate that in verse number 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. I've never really worked with horses. We had some mules growing up, and I've ridden a horse, I think, once, maybe twice. But you don't have to spend a lot of time around a horse that's trained to understand this concept of the bit in their mouth. Let's say you're riding on a horse, and you give them a little tug with the foot, or you tell them a go, or whatever you say, and the horse begins to move. How do you control the body of the horse, telling it where to go? Well, you just pull on that handle, or the handle, the strap, and tell it to go one way or another, right? The whole body is turned in a direction based on how you're moving that bit. If you're walking in front of the horse, you're pulling that horse, and he or she is walking behind you. It controls the whole body. The next passage, he talks about a ship. Look at verse number 4. Behold, also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. The idea of that, the rudder, as we would call it. You turn such a large ship, and that small device moves back and forth and turns the direction of the whole ship. What an illustration, the way that he's putting this. Think about it for the person for a moment. The tongue is able to control the direction of the body, spiritually speaking. For example, let's say you're moving down the narrow path where your tongue is going to be involved in that. You're going to be evangelizing. That's the tongue. You're going to be encouraging others. That's the tongue. You're worshiping, praying, singing praises to God. That's the tongue. Right? That's you love your spouse, you're telling them that. That's in action and in word. That's the tongue. But on the same note, your soul can be heading in a totally different direction based on the decisions you're making with this small muscle that is in your body, the tongue. Think about lying. It comes from the tongue. Even things that are not like gossip is a sin of the tongue. Even things like adultery can begin with a conversation, hence illusions, whatever it is that would initiate such an act. It begins with that conversation, the tongue. Murder, maybe it begins because you're angry, because of what someone said, and you just lose your mind so much that you would kill someone. The tongue, such a small part of the body, can control your entire direction, spiritually speaking. Look at the next two verses, and we're going to reference these again later, so I'll just read them now, and then we'll come back to them. But even so, verse 5, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Don't estimate the power of the tongue. Verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. That one part of the body can defile every bit of who you are. We're going to talk more about the fire, though, in just a moment. What is gossip, though? Let's talk about this. What is and what is not considered gossip? There's a couple of terms we use: gossip, rumors, slander. And we're going to define each of those. But I want to begin with a three-part definition. And this is coming from me now. This is not a technical dictionary definition, but you're going to get the general idea of this from most definitions. But a defaming statement, to begin with, about someone else. Very simply put, anything negative that you would say about someone else that is going to hurt their reputation, to hurt their character. It could be something we might consider a big statement, like, Billy Joe Bob, and hopefully there's no Billy Joe Bobs here, I'm picking on you if so, but I'm going to use that name. Billy Joe Bob, I saw him walking out of the liquor store with a brown bag. I saw him doing that, right? Maybe that's true, maybe it's not, but you're hurting their reputation by telling everybody else about that. That's gossip. That's what gossip is. Your defamation of character in the law world, if you've heard that statement before. I'm sure you have. Maybe it's something small like, so-and-so, I really like him, that Billy Joe Bob, he's a good guy, but man, he's aggravating. He just gets on my nerves. I just really, but he's a good guy. And by the way, let me just pause here to say this. Sometimes it's like if we make the statement that somebody is good, like a statement like, bless his heart, or a statement like, he's a good guy, I really like him, but it's almost like it gives us license to follow that with whatever we want. He's great, bless his heart, but man, his breath is horrible. Man, he just has a problem with lying. I saw him, the police pulled him over the other day on the side of the road. Who knows what he was doing? Whatever it is. It's anything that could hurt their reputation. And with that in mind, I would add this to the definition, whether true or false. It's incredible in the short time that I've been doing this and preaching and teaching others, how many have said to me, I've heard the statement, and I'll illustrate, no, not to pick on women, a lot of times this is a more of a problem with females, but guys do it too. But you hear this statement, no, this isn't gossip, it's the truth. It's not gossip because it's true. Maybe Billy Joe Bob was pulled over on the side of the road, but that doesn't mean it's not gossip. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt his reputation or character when you tell everybody that, right? Maybe he was pulled over for speeding because he was taking his pregnant wife to have her baby. Maybe he was late for church. I don't know, but we can't just go around. Even if it's true, it's still gossip. It still hurts their character. In fact, instead of asking the question to define or decide whether something is gossip before you tell it, instead of asking is it true or not, here's the question you ought to ask. What is the reason that I'm making this statement? What are my intentions with this? And that's the third part of this definition. A defaming statement about someone else, whether true or false, with ungodly intentions. If you want to know whether that negative statement you're making about someone else is gossip or not, the question is, why are you saying it? What are your intentions? Am I doing this because I'm wanting to help them in some way? Or am I doing this because I want to gain something from it? We'll talk about some godly intentions. Before we do, though, I want to talk about some key words. Go to Romans 1. Just to kind of add to the definition of some of these terms and to help understand what gossip is. Romans chapter 1. There is a term for defaming statements that are always false, but it's not the term gossip. Romans 1, begin in verse 29 with me, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Romans 1, 29. Paul writes, being filled with all unrighteousness, and notice this list, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. Notice, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. They not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. All these sins that are listed, two of them connect with what we're talking about this morning. That is, whisperers and backbiters. Other translations really help to get an idea as to what those words mean. In fact, the American Standard, and I think the English Standard as well, translate the word whisperer gossip. And that's what we're talking about there. Gossip, I would call an umbrella term. There are other terms that are within the arena of gossip, but they're not necessarily, gossip is not necessarily them. For example, the word backbiter. That word is the word for slanderer. Slander is the word for a statement, defaming statement, that is always false. If what you're saying is true about that person, by definition, you're not committing slander. That's the difference. Gossip is the umbrella term. Slander is within the arena of gossip. Slander is gossip, but gossip is not necessarily slander, if you're with me. Hence the two different words here. Whisperers is gossip. It's kind of like fornication. Fornication is an umbrella term, whereas adultery is more specific. Adultery is fornication, right? But it's specific to the marriage relationship, whereas fornication is not always adultery. It could be outside of a marriage, before marriage. That's fornication. Hopefully that's making some sense. So gossip is our umbrella term. This is anything that's defaming, whether true or false. It is condemned, and so is, of course, slander, saying something that is, in fact, false. Also, that word backbiter, I do like that word because it denotes the fact that you're doing it behind someone's back that you know. That's what gossip and slander is. This is someone that you know that you're talking about. You're saying something about them that they would not want you to say. Something that hurts them behind their back. And so in that sense, you're a whisperer, you're a backbiter. And so hopefully that kind of clarifies what we're talking about here and the difference in those terms. And you see that in the Old Testament as well. But let's talk about some ungodly intentions. What would make the statement gossip? For one, if you're saying this because you want to build up self. For example, let's say young people, let's use the kiddos for a minute here, teenagers. Let's say, let's take a guy, two guys, and they're both going after the same girl. I've been there. I remember, and I always lose, right? But you're going after the same girl. I finally won, though, thank goodness. But you're going after the same girl, and you want to win, right? You want to get the girl, so what do? You might defame the other person to build yourself up in her eyes. Well, listen, that Billy Joe Bob, man, he's awful. He's going to cheat on you. He's not going to be good to you. He doesn't care about you. He's not ever going to call you. He's going to be smooching with other girls, you know, or whatever you do, or whatever story you tell. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But you're defaming them to build yourself up. That's gossip. That's sin. That's not the right, the proper intentions, of course. Maybe it's adults in the workplace. You've got a few candidates who are about to have an opportunity to be a supervisor. And so you're talking about, I really want to get this position. These other guys, I got to bring them down so that I look better to the boss, so that he'll put me in that position. And so I'm going to slander them, or I'm going to gossip about them, defame their reputation. Maybe it's in the church. Maybe it's in an eldership. God forbid that this happens, but maybe there's an elder who is envious. A lot of times it's connected with envy, this particular point. Maybe they're envious that one of the other elders is doing a fantastic job, and they defame them to bring themselves up. Maybe it's teachers in the classroom. Someone is just doing a fantastic job and getting all the credit for the good job they're doing as a teacher, and so they defame their character. You get the idea. Building up your reputation, that's an ungodly intention. What about just getting a good laugh? Right, you know, old Billy Joe Bob, he drank a little too much alcohol the other day, and he went into the public and just made a scene. Maybe it was. Maybe it was funny to witness. Maybe it was hilarious. But telling that to someone else, what does that do? It's gossip. You're hurting his reputation by telling that story. Oh, it's funny. Sure, maybe you're going to get a laugh, and that's tempting, right, to get a laugh from someone else. I get that. We want to make people laugh. It's fun. But you don't need to do that at someone else's expense. Maybe it's someone who's less fortunate. Maybe someone who's not as cool, who's not as popular, who's not as stylish, and we talk about them because it's funny. That's just not the way it ought to be. Maybe it's getting revenge, right? So-and-so did me wrong, and so I'm going to get him back. I'm going to get her back. I'm going to tell. Maybe it's a secret that was confided. They confided in you with that, and you're just going to tell it now. Are you going to blackmail them with it? Yeah, we've seen it happen. Hopefully we haven't done that, but we've seen it happen. I'm going to get revenge on them and gossip. Maybe it's passing the time. The Bible talks about that, just being idle, not having anything to do, and so you just start talking about people. Maybe you're in a situation where you're trying to come up with a conversation. You've had those awkward moments when you're standing with someone and neither of you is talking and you're trying to come up with something. Did you hear what Billy Joe Bob did? Well, that's a great conversation starter, right? But that doesn't mean you need to tell it, unless Billy Joe Bob did something great, something good, and you're going to talk about that. That's what we ought to talk about. Let me tell you how good Billy Joe Bob is. Let's go to Proverbs 20. Proverbs chapter 20. In fact, you might put a marker here as 99% of our verses that we're going to reference are going to be in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 19. We're picking on the gossiper, but we don't need to forget the gossipy, you might say, or the one that's hearing the gossip. It takes two people to gossip. Someone's listening, and if they're listening and not stopping that or walking away, or if they're laughing about it, kind of like Romans 1:32 said, giving consent or having pleasure in that, it's the same idea. But here's Proverbs 20 and verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. I thought it was interesting. The word there for meddle in the Hebrew is the word they would use to talk about the braiding of the hair. When they would braid their hair, that spiraling together. We would put it this way. Don't mix and mingle, right? Meddle. Don't mingle with that person. Someone you know is having problems with gossip. They're just talking about people. Maybe you didn't know it, but they're starting to avoid that. Get away from that. Don't stand there and listen to those tales of being bored, that reputation of someone else being hurt. In fact, Proverbs 17 verse 4 says, the kind of person that's going to listen to that is a wicked doer and a liar. Think about that for a moment. If you're going to listen to the gossip, you're right there with them. You're doing evil and you're dishonest yourself. And there's something to be said about that, but we'll talk more about dishonesty in a moment. Let's look at some godly teachings now. Here are some reasons that talking about someone and what they did in a negative sense would not constitute gossip. In other words, there are biblical intentions that would allow you to say, you know, should we never say that anybody ever did anything wrong? Well, no. You know what that would, the problems that would cause, but here's just a few of them. Number one, I certainly think a godly intention here, it would not constitute gossip if you're trying to help someone. Let's say, for example, that you know Billy Joe Bob is struggling with alcohol. Let's bring that one up again. He's struggling with alcohol and you've tried to talk to him and he just won't listen to you. But you guys may have a mutual friend, a godly person who he might listen to, who could really help him. And so you go to that person and say, listen, I need your help. Billy Joe Bob is struggling and we need to encourage him. What can we do? Right? You're going to them and your intention is trying to help that person, right? You know the difference. It's easy to say, well, I was just trying to help. You know when you're really trying to help someone, when you're trying to do good. And in some cases, it may just be that you're not the person to get anywhere with them. And so you need to talk to someone else, someone who is able to help them. Maybe it's a minister. Maybe it's an elder or deacon. Maybe it's just a member of the brotherhood or in that congregation that really knows that person. I just don't see how we could say that that would be gossip and be sinful in that with that intent. Exposing false teachers. And by the way, I'll reference some passages for these in a moment. But exposing false teachers, the Bible is very clear about this one. Right? When you've got someone who's teaching false doctrine, we need to warn our brethren. You don't need to listen to that. Stay awake. This person is teaching. We need to address them. We need to talk to them about it. But if that's not going to change, we need to warn one another. And connected with that is warning about sinful actions. Someone in the congregation, they're sowing discord. And it's not stopping. They're sowing strife and contentions. We need to stay away from them. We need to be warned about that person. All right, let's find some Bible verses for this. How about 2 Timothy 4 to begin with? Put your marker in Proverbs. I'll do the same. We're going to come back to that for pretty much the rest of the study. But go to 2 Timothy 4 with me for just a moment. 2 Timothy 4 verse 14. Paul says this about Alexander. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. That certainly hurt Alexander's reputation, didn't it? Was that sinful? Was that gossip? Look at verse 15. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. What's he doing? You need to be warned about Alexander. He's having some trouble. He's having some sin. He's discouraging others. You need to watch out for Alexander. Ephesians 5 and verse 11, another one. I'll just mention this one. Paul writes there, do not be in fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather, he says, reprove or rebuke them. Rebuke them. Call them out. Warn against them. Take care of that. Don't be in fellowship with it. Time is going by quickly. Let me throw some thoughts up here for you. Three things I want to quickly give you. This is the body of the lesson. I've got about 8 minutes left, so let me just mention a few of these quickly. Gossip, number one, is desirable. We got to understand that this is a very tempting thing, and it's very easy to commit this sin. Very simple, just to lean over and whisper something about someone else that you shouldn't have. It's just that fast. It's very desirable. In fact, Proverbs 26:22 says that a talebearer, the words are as wounds, going down to the innermost parts of the belly. The word wounds there is not quite the best translation. The word there literally is the idea of eating something that's delicious. Other translations say a dainty morsel, which is the idea. In other words, telling gossip is very pleasurable. It's like eating your favorite candy bar. Mmm, that's good, right? You're talking about someone else, and that can be enticing. That can bring about a result that you like. And it can be enticing to know, I really want to know, right? Did you hear about? Yeah, I want to know. I want to know what's going on. That's a temptation that could be there. Proverbs 18 and verse 8 says the very same thing. Number two, gossip is devastating. It is absolutely devastating. Proverbs 26, verses 20 and 21. I do want to turn to this one. Hopefully you have your marker and can get there quickly. Proverbs 26, 20 and 21.
Look at this passage. I love this. Where no wood is, Proverbs 26:20, where no wood is, the fire goes out. So where there is a talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. We would say pouring gasoline on the fire. That's how we would put this. He says that gossip, it's wood. For a talebearer, it's wood in the fire that's just making it worse. Think about, and I told you, I'd go back to that James 3 there. The fire, he talks about the tongue as a fire, a world of iniquity. How much fire does it take? How much wood does it take to begin a forest fire? Think about the devastation. It just takes one spark. One spark under the right conditions to unleash a devastating fire that destroys the habitats of all these animals, destroys these trees, the woods. You know how devastating a fire can be. And it all starts with one spark. He says here in Proverbs, Solomon, in his wisdom, you can just very quickly make a fire go real big by putting some wood in it. Right? It's this idea that I'm just going to tell one person. Well, guess what? That person, they're only going to tell one person. And then that person's only going to tell one person. And what are you doing? The fire's spreading. He says, in order to get rid of it, take out the wood. Get rid of the gasoline, the wood. Don't do it. Don't feed that fire. Make it stop. Make it cease. Otherwise, it is going to be devastating. Friends, you can cause souls to fall away so fast in the discouragement. You cause people to lose their friends. In fact, that's not it. Is it? Oh, maybe it is. Proverbs 16, 27, 28. He references there the fact that a talebearer is basically going to separate chief friends. You're going to take the best of friends and you're going to destroy that relationship because of that gossip. It is devastating. You're going to ruin people's relationships. They may end up leaving the church because of the discouragement that you gave them, all because you wanted to meddle in that business that you shouldn't have meddled in. I've got to keep going. Gossip number three, and finally, is dishonest. Gossip is very dishonest. What I mean by that is this. Sometimes gossip is not just about making something up. Sometimes it's the fact that you confide in someone and they tell you, I'm not going to share your secret. You know the people that you can trust. You share it with them and you know they're not going to tell your secret. But not everybody is good at that. And a gossiper is really going to struggle with this. In fact, Proverbs 11, 12 to 13 says that. Matter of fact, let's turn to this one too. It talks about, well, I don't want to tell you. We'll just turn to it. Proverbs 11. Just because we haven't referenced a passage like this, I want you to read it with me. Proverbs 11 and verse 12. Speaking of this idea of holding a secret. Proverbs 11 verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, notice, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You're confiding in someone, he that is of a faithful spirit, that's the phrase I was trying to remember that he said there, is going to conceal it. Right? When you take that and you tell someone else, you're dishonest. You're being dishonest in that because you vowed to keep that secret. And yet here you are opening up, concealing it. Or not concealing it, rather. Revealing it, I should say. Proverbs 25 and verse 9, another great passage you might jot down, referencing this idea as well. Not able to hold on to that secret. I want to give you the think method. If you're a note taker, write this down or hold it in your mind and remember this. This is not original with me. I found this online and I really like this. The think method. Letter T here. Is it true? To begin with, is what you're saying true? We can at least get rid of slander if it's true, right? That's step number one. I like that. That's the first question. Is this true? Number two, from there, is this helpful? Man, that's a key. Is what I'm saying going to be helpful or is it going to hinder? Which is it? The letter I here, is it inspirational? Is this going to inspire good to be done? And right behind that, or after that, is it really necessary? Man, is this necessary? Is it going to inspire? Is it helpful? Is it true? And is it really needed? Is it necessary that I relay this information? It might be, but you've got to answer that question. And then finally, is it kind? Is it kind? In fact, this poem I have here that I found kind of goes along with it. If you're tempted, and let me go back to this for a moment in case you were writing that down. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspirational? Is it necessary? Is it kind? Okay, I don't see anybody writing. So I think you got it. The three gates. If you are tempted to reveal a tale someone has told about another, make it pass before you speak three gates of gold. These narrow gates, first, is it true? Then, is it needful? In your mind, give truthful answer. And the next is last and narrowest, is it kind? And if to reach your lips at last, it passes through these gateways three, then you may tell the tale, nor fear what the results of speech may be. I like that. I don't know exactly who that came from, but we'll say anonymous there, but very good words. Let me conclude with this passage. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Remember what Jesus says. By your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Every idle word, every single word that comes out of your mouth, Jesus says, you will be judged based on every one of them. When you stand before God, everything that you've ever said is going to come into judgment. And if you're struggling with gossip and you die in this world involved in that sin of gossip, we're going to be judged for that and we'll lose our soul. Romans 1, 29 to 32. I don't want any of you, and I don't want myself, and I know you don't want me or any of each other, to lose our soul over something as we might call as simple as gossip. Friends, you're going to ruin someone's reputation. You can go from having a wonderful reputation to losing it all in the snap of a finger that fast. But it takes a long time to build that reputation back up. Comes back to that golden rule. Do to them as you want them to do to you. You don't want people telling that stuff about you and hurting you. Don't do that to them. Amen. Friends, remember how devastating it can be, that it is dishonest. And let's be honest, it is also very tempting. It's very tempting to want to do that, but we've got to avoid it. If you're here this morning and you're struggling with gossip, if you're struggling with your tongue in some way, your entire body is being defiled by that, James says. Turn away from that. Our brother led an outstanding prayer, a very capable prayer this morning. He mentioned that if there are people here this morning that just aren't sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that they're right with God, he said, don't leave. Don't let them leave, God, this place without making that right. Make that true of yourself. If you're here and you know that there's sin in your life, whether it's gossip or something else, make it right. If you've never become a Christian, do that this morning. With belief, repentance, confession of sin, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and baptism, you can be a child of God and remain faithful to Him until the end of your days. Maybe you haven't remained faithful. You become a Christian, but sin is back. You know what to do. Confess it, repent of it. We want to pray with you and for you. We want to help you any way we can. Get rid of that gossip. Get rid of that sin. If we can help you, please come forward right now as we stand and sing together.